Welcome everyone to the Fantasy Football Fools Podcast. My name's Jesse. This is LSA and Brandon. How you guys doing today?
I'm good. I am 2-0, so I'm good.
I'm doing all right.
He's not 2-0.
Week two in the books. Football. It was a crazy week. There were some crazy things that happened.
If you thought week one was a horrible car crash that you can't look away from, then week two is the car that wasn't paying attention that like ran into all that had already happened. That's how I feel about so far the season.
Yeah, it was almost an overcorrection for some teams, for some players. There was a lot of stuff going on. Some guys balled out again. Some guys didn't ball out again.
I think mostly it wasn't that. It was so the guys that went off in week one were completely silent in week two, and the ones that you were expecting to go off in week one and didn't went off in week two. So it was just total opposite in a lot of cases.
Except for the ones that didn't go off in week one or week two, and now you're like, oh my goodness.
Spoiler alert, we'll get to them later. Yeah, and full disclosure, I was on a flight home from out of the country this weekend, but being the rabid fan that I am, I paid for the high-speed Wi-Fi on the plane. I had my laptop. I had Red Zone streaming. I had the people behind me trying to look over my shoulder to watch games. So even though I was out of the country during Sunday, I made sure to watch the games so I could be prepared for this podcast.
You got to do what you got to do to win those fantasy football matchups.
Or lose.
Or not.
All right. Let's get into it. We're going to talk about injuries.
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
And of course... The one.
I feel like we should say some words. I don't know, kind words.
Poor ankle. Unfortunate. He was on his way to stardom.
Iceberg.
Trey Lance. No, we hope the surgery goes well and he's good, but he is out for the season. Broken ankle.
It sucks for him because this was supposed to be his year. You know, it's he's going to show us what he's got. And then week one, he had the, monsoon to play through. And then this week he gets hurt and end of the season for him. That sucks.
So yeah, quick question. So he hasn't played football really at all in the last 3 years. So his 2020 year in college was kind of the COVID year. His team literally didn't play. Last year, obviously, in San Francisco, he kind of sat the bench, played very sparingly. He's going to miss this entire year. Is there a period of time where if you don't do something, you just aren't good at it anymore? Are we getting there with Trey Lance?
I mean, how long was it for Sam Bradford?
Sam Bradford? Well, I haven't
heard that. He was never good, but every time around the beginning of fantasy football, everybody was like, this is Sam Bradford, and everybody was all talking about him like he was going to be the best thing, and he didn't do good his first year because he tore his ACL at the beginning of the season. He comes back. Oh, Sam Bradford, this is the year. And then he tore the other ACL, and then he was out. And then after that, he came back, and he just wasn't good. So it's a similar situation where it's you build up a guy, and then nothing ever happens.
You know what's crazy is they wanted to, trade Jimmy G, or they thought about it. And I think they'd be trading back for him right now. It's funny because he wouldn't be available to trade back. Well, they probably figured that someone's going to get hurt during the season and they can trade him. But, I mean, he's getting a ton more money, I think, now. And you know what? I think the offense is going to be better with Jimmy G.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's actually better for the fantasy guys. You saw what Debo did last year. Elijah Mitchell. They have a more – the upside of Lance is bigger than Garoppolo, right? But there's just such a wide – variance of outcomes, and you know what you're getting out of Jimmy G. He's going to be solid. He's taking this team to the Super Bowl. I mean, and they were in the NFC Championship game last year. He's not a bad backup, and I think he's going to solidify the fantasy playmakers there.
And he's motivated because, see, it's a contract year. So he's going to go and ball out.
And go wherever he wants or stay in San Francisco.
I don't think he's going to stay.
Justin Herbert, fractured rib cartilage. Will probably play. He came back into the game, so he'll probably play.
Unless the doctor has anything to say about it. That guy could just be let me just give you this shot real quick. And then there goes your career.
That was how, Herbert got the job in the first place, right?
The punctured
lung
from
Tyrod Taylor, the team doctor who's now being sued by Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. So I wouldn't go anywhere near the team doctor. But Herbert, I think, showed how tough he was last week coming into the game against the Chiefs. Really in a meaningless drive. I don't think they had a chance to win the game there. And I don't think he's going to miss any time. I mean, maybe a week, but I think he's going to play through it.
I think... If I was the team, I would bench him this week just because they got a weaker opponent. Who are they playing? They're playing...
I think they put the Jaguars.
Somebody easy who they should be able to handle, even without him. You know, so I figured, like, if, like, he's your young quarterback, like, why risk it? You know, if you know you can handle biscuit. This team, like, just handle business without him. Like, just let him sit out for a week. I think he'll be all right. Or have him...
Who's the backup?
Well, I was going to say, have him ready. Like, all right, you're not going to start. We'll see how the game is going. And if it's taking an ugly turn, then ready to get in, you know? But, like...
I mean, it's tough to bench your starting quarterback, especially when you are a possible playoff-bound team.
But it's week three.
I understand, and it's probably a good idea, but I doubt that's going to happen.
And here's the thing. I don't know that, again, he has, what, fractured rib cartilage, whatever that means. I'm no doctor, but I don't know. Is that something that gets significantly better the following week? Like, is that going to heal in 1 week and all of a sudden he's fine? Like, there's risk either way.
Yeah, it is, but it also it might just be like a, like, pain management stuff, you know, if he's not going to have his best game because he's
hurt.
But
he has the doctor that can shoot him with stuff.
I feel like, yeah, ribs are like, I feel like I worry for like his breathing. Like yeah. Maybe when they go play like in Denver or something in altitude, maybe that, then it becomes an issue. I don't know. I feel like he's a football player. He's tough. He'll wear some extra padding.
He was tough. I was seeing him. You could tell that he was in pain, but he was still making the throws. So
Jerry Jeudy, also ribs, maybe a week. We really don't know much on that unless something came out today, which I didn't see.
Do you know when he went out in the game? Because he didn't really do a lot. So I don't know when he...
I don't
know. It
was
pretty early. I think it was in the first half for sure. But yeah, I think if he misses any time, it should be only about a week. But that was a big hit for the Broncos offense. They're obviously trying to get right with Russell Wilson. They haven't in either of the first 2 weeks, and he's a major weapon for them. So that
we're
was
still
definitely
waiting
a big,
for the ride.
Yeah, we have not ridden the ride yet. We're not quite tall enough. I don't think Russ meets the height requirement. Let's
ride. I think the whole, what did he say? Who's that shout out to? What does Russ say in that?
Says let's ride Broncos let's country.
Broncos
ride.
Country.
Yeah. Let's ride.
The entire country is waiting. Yeah. Like, we got the horses ready, man. When are you going to show up?
They're still tied to the post. James Conner ankle. This one we also don't know very much about. He could play. He could not play. But if it's an ankle injury, it depends on how bad it is, what grade it is, you know, all that.
Yeah, he got injured in the game and didn't come back in. He was still kind of suited up on the sidelines. They panned over him a couple times, but again, never came back in. You never really know. He's had a history of injury problems when he was in Pittsburgh, so kind of one of those guys you label as injury prone. So I'm not surprised that he's hurt, but again, he's pretty tough. We'll see what happens.
They said it wasn't serious, so that's good.
Absolutely.
But I mean, if he's one of your starting running backs, you're definitely worried this week. Dalton Schultz.
Another one of your, you know, awesome Cowboy top five team goes down, Jesse. How do you feel?
I mean, he was my starting tight end. So, you know, I'm definitely going to be looking for someone there.
Play that music again, man.
Probably out for a few few weeks. But
now
yeah,
talk about
if,
him.
You know, oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, talk about him now. Talk about him now.
He wasn't that great anyway, and that Cowboys team is just
they won
imploding. I know. That's the crazy part is that they won a good team, and you know I think they have like I've been saying they have an easy schedule, and this is not one of their easy games. So
are we sure Cincinnati's good? Are we sure?
We are not
sure. Pretty sure they're not good, actually.
They lost to Pittsburgh.
They
lost to the Patriots.
So much money. Like
their line is supposed to be better.
They supposedly solidified the line.
I was watching and I was like, you know what? Joe Burrow's going to get hurt again because he was like just...
He's been sacked like 11 times in two games or something crazy.
Yeah, it's not good. He's going to end up getting hurt if they don't do something real fast.
Well, they paid all the money to all the people that are supposedly protecting him. Where are we at? Damian Harris knee.
Oh, yeah. I saw him coming up limping, and I'm like, another guy who you think, like, oh, of course, because he's injury prone too. So he comes up, and you're like, oh, I wonder how bad this one's going to be. But I looked it up afterwards, and it didn't really say anything major.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of the injuries this week have, it's very vague.
Maybe he just got a Charlie horse.
Very vague on what's going on. Last two, Hunter Renfro, concussion protocol.
Is that why he dropped the ball?
Yeah, do you guys want to play the music again for you guys?
Oh,
to
yeah,
talk
you should play
about
the music
Raiders,
again.
He had two fumbles
back
in
to
a
back,
row.
Right? Yeah, back to back. And the first one,
was he concussed on the first hit?
I think yeah. so. Yeah. I actually think that he would. There was something up with him.
I
got to
go back and
happened,
watch,
so.
Like because I wasn't watching the game live, so I saw it afterwards, and now I'm curious about that. So I got to go watch and see how that first hit was because I saw the second hit, and I was like, that sucks.
And Devin Duvernay, also concussion protocol. He had a pretty good game.
He's had two pretty good games.
He ran the opening kickoff back
for a touchdown. Yeah.
And he had two receiving touchdowns in week one.
So he no. He had the return and a receiving touchdown in week one, and then this week he had
that Baltimore-Miami game.
Are you sure?
Oof. Yeah, the return was this week. He had two last week.
Oh, it was this week? Are you sure?
He returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, 100%.
I thought it was week one.
No.
Oh. Are you sure? No, it was week one.
No, it wasn't. It was 100%.
The fantasy football fools, we know it all here. That Baltimore-Miami game, man, that was some point city right there. That was a good game. That was a good game.
Okay. Brandon just proved me wrong.
Yeah, of course he did. What else is new around
here? What are you talking about? Baltimore who?
The fans know who to believe when I give information.
I mean, probably normally the guy who's 2-0, but I guess this time I was wrong.
You know who else is 2-0? Yours truly. Okay,
you
so
got lucky
calm
though.
Down.
You got lucky.
Yeah, I always get lucky. Yeah. The 3-time champion of our league here, always getting lucky. You know.
You get so lucky.
Oh
that's
my
the
goodness!
Problem.
All right, let's move on. These are not so much injured. I mean, they're injured possibly, but they didn't play. J.K. Dobbins. Hopefully, he's returning soon. Maybe this week.
I don't think so. He's the one saying he's going to return, but his coaches are saying, "Oh, you're not ready yet." And it's kind of like he's fighting them to get back. You know, kind of a deal.
So he was the one, before the season. Someone said, "Hey, I don't think he's going to play," and he said, "Who are you? Like, you're a fake doctor."
Yeah, yeah.
And went crazy on him, and then here he is, hasn't played in the first 2 weeks. So I guess we know who was right after that one. So
the fake
doctor. He's being called week to week. So we'll see.
George Kittle groin. Oh, if you drafted Kittle, man, you've had a rough go so far.
Spoiler alert, these next four guys are all on my team. So, George Kittle, he practiced on Friday of last week. They still held him out, so I think he's going to be good to go this week. Again, he's another guy that I think will benefit with Jimmy G now in there.
Yeah.
So, again, when he's in there, he's going to be good. You just never know when he's in there, but he's hopefully back week three.
Chris Godwin, hamstring.
That's another guy who's always hurt.
Another guy who gets hurt a lot.
And he was Mike Evans is now suspended for a game.
Yeah, Godwin's coming off the ACL and pulled his hamstring in week one. So I'd expect him to miss a couple more weeks before he's deemed like fully healthy. I think they wait until he was almost ready and they brought him back. I think they wait until he's fully healthy.
Keenan Allen, hamstring.
Again, another guy on my team. they had the Thursday night game, so he had the hamstring the previous Sunday. So only 3-4 days to get back. Now he kind of has that extended break. So I would be surprised if we don't see him in week three.
Yeah, I think he'll suit up. Alvin Kamara, ribs yet again.
Yep, yet again on my team. he sat out again this week. They said he could have played if it was like a playoff game. They're just being cautious again early in the year, which I think is smart. I think you want to kind of – you'd rather get 14 games out of these guys than lose them now for the rest of the season. So I think just kind of wait until these guys are healthy is a good objective. But, again, I think he plays week three also.
Julio Jones, knee.
Yeah, this one was kind of a surprise, I think. He came, like, late in the week. And, again, I think we had talked about this in an earlier episode of, like, oh, they signed Julio Jones. What does that mean? It's like, oh, well, I think they just want to get a full season. Like, if you have Godwin and Jones, that's, like, one good receiver, and you're hoping that, like, one is healthy throughout the year. And here we are, both of them kind of missing the game.
Also, didn't you pick him up on the waiver?
We'll talk about that later, yeah.
I want to talk about it now.
Oh, the waiver. I picked him up on the waiver, yeah. I picked him. He was on my bench. I didn't play him. But, you know, I mean, Godwin is still hurt, and I figured, hey, why not a pickup? And now, look at Mike Evans is out of game.
Yeah, we knew
so
Evans would throw punches at Marcus Lattimore. So, yeah, he could have been the guy in the second half.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Gabe Davis, non-contact injury.
Yeah, he got hurt in practice, I think, on Saturday. They had the Monday night game. So he was like a late addition to the report. So never a good sign when your guy gets added onto the injury report.
For non-contact.
And it sucks because it was the Monday night game.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people got screwed over by this one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You got to kind of – and again, he's a guy if he plays, you're going to play him, so you really want to kind of wait, but maybe the guys you had to settle for playing aren't quite as good. So, we'll see kind of what that looks like for him. Buffalo didn't miss him, that's for sure.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Time for our fantasy tops. They did pretty good.
Better than the bottoms.
Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, 36 for 50, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions, and 3 rushes for 1 yard for Tua.
Is he turning into the Fitzpatrick? You know, where it's like he's just going to like launch stuff up there because his receivers are good.
And yeah, he's got Waddle and Hill. I mean, he's got 53 points in fantasy.
Everybody's like hyping him up a lot. Is this sustainable? Obviously not 6 touchdowns and not 4 in the fourth quarter, but how realistic is this? Like,
I think you've seen his ceiling and it could happen. I don't think it's going to do this every week, but I think there's potential there. And yeah, why not try to
but
win
like
your
who,
league?
Who have they played against?
So that's what I was going to say. This week they played Buffalo. So
yeah.
Here's a big test.
This is the real test.
They played New England. They played Baltimore. Baltimore was missing, I think, their top 3 corners. So they were able to exploit that. But yeah, they played Buffalo. That's a great test and really kind of a prove it game for Tua, right? He's come off his best game of his career, one of the best games all time in the NFL history with those numbers. So I think this is a big week to kind of see if he's for real. But those weapons are legit. They are.
Lamar right behind him, 29. The thing is, Tua had 50 attempts. Lamar had 29. So that tells you the difference there. I mean, if he's going to chuck it up that much, then, yeah, I mean, he's going to, with that those receivers that he has, he's going to do something. Lamar, 21 out of 29, 318 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 9 rushes for 119 yards and another touchdown there. I mean, he did it through the air, through the ground. What more do you want? Lamar is a beast.
He's also on a contract year, right? He declined the extension or he declined?
They offered him an extension. He turned it down. And the weird thing about it, he's actually representing himself. He doesn't have an agent. He's kind of figuring things out. Now they've tabled it to play the season and he'll come back next year and we'll see what happens. But yeah, he does not have an agent. He's representing himself.
Well, he represented himself very well this week.
Yeah, and if he keeps doing that, he's going to get paid.
Absolutely.
Josh Allen, 26 for 38, 317 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, only 1 rush for 10 yards.
Yeah, it didn't matter. He's the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
He's unstoppable. Yeah. Down a big receiver, still produced.
He was going really early in fantasy drafts, and a lot of people were like, oh, just wait on the quarterback, just wait. And I usually do that, and this year I didn't. I was like, I'm going to go get me a Josh Allen, and I am so glad that I did.
Yeah,
he's a fun good guy call. To just you have on your roster, and you just feel good every week having him.
And even watching him play. He just plays like he's a kid. Like, I'm just having a good time, and he's just going out there doing his thing, but he's so good.
So, I mean, those guys, I mean, maybe not Tua, but Lamar and Josh, you definitely drafted early. This guy, you probably didn't draft early.
He's probably still out there.
Joe Flacco, 26 for 44, 307 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think we're in like 2012 again. He's leading the Ravens to a Super Bowl. Like, yeah, that is. Who is this guy?
I hope this guy is having fun also just being like, haha, so yeah, I can still do it because this isn't going to last. This can't last.
Well, it's not going to last. I think they have Zach Wilson is hurt. He's coming back week 5. So that'll be interesting to kind of see what happens
with
that.
But is he coming back week 5 if he keeps
supposedly,
doing this?
Who knows? Yeah, that was a great comeback by Flacco. But yeah, that was insane.
But again, I think their matchup this week is a lot tougher also. So I don't think it's going to go well for them. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, we're all pumped up from last week. And then
they play the Bengals this week. So who knows?
Oh, well, yeah, who knows now?
They could win again.
They may put up a Tua at home.
Yeah. So real quick, before we move on, this is going to be my trivia question for the week. So I want to ask these guys, can you name the top 3 quarterbacks through 2 weeks in terms of passing yards? So which 3 quarterbacks have the most passing yards through 2 weeks?
Ooh, I'm going to say Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz on the list.
Tua.
Tua on the list.
And
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, number 3.
Really?
Great job. Look at you guys. But
wow.
Tua, Carson Wentz, and Joe Flacco
leading the league in passing. Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure one of those leads the league in touchdowns, too.
Probably Tua. He's 6 plus whatever he did week 1. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Incredible. Nobody could have predicted this. That's why I was talking about the car crash earlier, because I'm like, week 2 came in and was like, there's already an accident here, and I'm not going to hit my brakes. Oh, I'm part of it now.
And
like,
Tua just T-boned you.
Yeah, it was like, what just happened? Yeah, it's just been a mess. Honestly, these 2 weeks have been a mess. I mean, fun to watch, but what the hell?
So the question is, do you run to get those guys if you can, or is this, you know?
I mean, the only thing if you were to get those guys is if you had Dak Prescott, if you had Trey Lance, if your quarterback's injured. But if you have guys that you drafted ahead of him, I think you're still riding him out.
Yeah.
It's only been 2 weeks. These guys have done it against some inferior competition. So I'm not a believer necessarily after 2 weeks.
What if you drafted Matt Ryan?
Well, then you were doomed to begin with.
But also adding to the tops, we talked about him, but he wasn't on the list. Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. He was number, I think the number seven quarterback this week. He did a great job. It's just, you know, I put the top three or four.
I just wanted Adam because he's like one of those surprising
guys.
Yeah,
he's been doing great 2 weeks in a row. So remember when you said you weren't on the Wentz train? Are you now?
No, he's played Jaguars and the Lions.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, absolutely not.
They play the Eagles this week. Good test. Back in Philadelphia. He's going to get booed like crazy, and he's going to have an awful game, I think.
Wide receiver Stephon Diggs, 12 for 14, 148 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I think Stephon Diggs is pissed at every single fantasy football player who drafted the top 3 wide receivers, Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. He said, "What about me?" He's been the best receiver in the league. Devontae was probably the clear 4. And Diggs is like, "I belong with those guys," and he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, and I mean, he has Josh Allen, so that helps a lot as well. Tyreek Hill, 11 for 13, 190 yards and 2 touchdowns. 190 yards. Woo.
Yeah, looked like vintage Tyreek in Kansas City. He was outstanding.
Now, I don't remember, because I guess I wasn't paying too close of attention to when he was in Kansas City. In Kansas City, was he having to wait on the ball? Because he's fast, but I don't know if Mahomes, like if he had to like slow down and wait for a pass from Mahomes, because he's doing that a lot now. And he's still wide open because he's fast, but he's like having to wait for the ball. When they play better defenses and the coverage isn't blown completely like that, it might be a different case because like that turns into a lob basically.
Yeah, I don't think he was having to wait as much as he is now, but he still did sometimes. I mean, he's the fastest person in the NFL, so what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, no, he didn't have to wait. I mean, Mahomes is like, I don't know, like Walker Buehler, right? He's throwing like mid to high 90s. And then Tua's like Kershaw, right? Where he's like 90, 91, nibbling, throwing off speed pitches. Like it's not even close. Mahomes' arm is unbelievable. Tua's still questionable. He's actually got the job done.
So, again, it's going to be a good test this week.
Yeah,
this
against a real
defense.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be exciting. Now that we're talking about it, I'm excited to watch that now just for fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So right behind Tyreek had 32 points in standard fantasy format. Jalen Waddle had 30 points, 11 for 19, 171 and 2. It's ridiculous. They're both on the same team, and they both were two of the top wide receivers of the week.
Yeah, over 170 yards, 2 touchdowns for both. I don't know how many times that's happened in history. It can't be very often.
I think this may be the first time.
Yeah, one or two.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it happens a couple more times this year.
They're great weapons. Yeah. They're fast. You get in the ball, they make people miss. They make big plays happen. I mean, they're just fun. And shout out to the coach, Mike McDaniel, has come over and just kind of really schemed up a pretty good offense for these guys. Just get the playmakers the ball.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god, 9 for 12, 116, 2 TDs, and, you know, just to top it off, 2 rushes for 68 yards. Why not?
I am bummed because he was on my list to draft. And
you didn't draft him.
Well, I was going to take him, but I felt like every time it was like, oh, this guy is the next guy I'm taking, I would get beat to it, you know? And this was one of the cases. The other one was, it doesn't matter. But this one, I was like, okay, I'm taking him right now. And then Brandon over here, like, jumped right in front of me and was like, I'm going to take this guy.
Well, good thing I took him because the rest of my roster is hurt, so he's definitely been carrying me. But, yeah, no, he was awesome in this game. He's been awesome since, like, I don't know, week 12 or 13 of last year.
Yeah.
He tied, I think it was Antonio Brown and Michael Thomas with the most consecutive, like, 8 catch games or something. He's just been, unbelievable. Jared Goff's favorite target. He's hard to guard, and he kind of showed that here. And he's versatile, too, with the rushes.
And the Lions are much improved this year.
That offense looks good.
Yeah, Goff is looking a little bit better, so that's good. Running back Aaron Jones, 15 for 132 and 1 touchdown, 3 catches, 38 yards, and another TD.
This guy wasn't on your list to draft, though, Sal? Usually I feel like he's the top of the
board
for you.
Yeah, you picked A.J. Dillon instead. I remember you said he's too high.
Well, no, not that he was too high. It's just like where I was in the draft, it didn't really make sense because I would have to reach for him like a lot. And so I was like, well, I can reach for him now, or I can take A.J. Dillon way later. And, I mean, because last year the way Dillon was looking was pretty good. I feel like both of them were going to just have a really good year. So it didn't matter which one I took. But I guess some games it's going to go one way, another game it's going to go the other way. Because last week Aaron Jones was the quiet one and Dillon was the loud one. And this week it was the opposite, and I feel like that's just how it's going to be all season.
Yeah, and here's the thing is Dillon still out-carried Jones 18 to 15. Aaron Jones had 3 catches. AJ Dillon had 1, so Dillon actually had more touches. I think Jones just did more with the touches, but they're each going to get about around 20 touches a game. And so, yeah, taking, you know, Dillon 4, 5, 6 rounds later than Jones, I think you're getting the value there, certainly.
Nick Chubb, 17 for 87 yards and 3 touchdowns.
And he cost his team the game.
Yep. I was just going to say that 3rd touchdown cost the team the game. He certainly could have went down and won the game, but we don't care about that. This is fantasy, right? He got fantasy points for someone, and I'm
maybe
sure they were thrilled.
Maybe he got you the win because of that touchdown.
Exactly. And let's be honest, like, he didn't lose them the game. Their defense, you're up 13 points with under 2 minutes to go. You got to win that game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just talk to the Raiders. They know all about that. Tony Pollard, 9 for 43, 1 touchdown.
How's Zeke Elliott treating you, Jesse? Another one
Zeke's
of your...
Zeke's okay. Zeke had 17 touches. He just didn't do much with them.
Yeah,
because
he's not good.
Well, I think Tony Pollard also had 4 catches through the air for 55 yards, and he's more of the pass-catching back. I don't know. I think that it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a timeshare, and that's what you're going to get.
It is, but for me, it's just... the eye test. Like, you just watch them both run, and you're like, Pollard could score every time he has the ball, and like, Zeke, like, maybe can get 8 to 10 yards. Like, he just looks slow, but yeah, they're gonna keep giving the ball. They do like him, and again, he can be effective. It's just, you look at them both and you're like, why is this guy getting more carries than that guy?
And you just have to figure out what that offense is going to be now that there's no Dak and no Dalton Schultz.
Well, it's probably going to be worse than it was before, so it's probably going to still be bad.
Yeah. Although, I was actually impressed with Dallas. I think, again, they beat Cincinnati. Cooper Rush looked competent. I mean, he was fine. He was not the issue. I think they're going to run the ball a little bit more. He's going to kind of take some checkdowns and do some of that stuff. But, yeah, I was actually impressed with what he did in his first start beating Cincinnati.
Moving on to tight ends. Mark Andrews, 9 for 11, 104 yards, 1 TD, and 1 rush.
Yeah,
3 yards.
This is what you're expecting when you drafted him.
Yeah, one of the guys that was like weak in week one.
Yeah,
you know,
he's definitely the number one tight end because all the other tight ends kind of suck. But the next best two are Darren Waller, 6 for 8 for 50 yards and a touchdown, and Mike Gesicki, 4 for 4 for 41 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, you're talking about 40, 50 yards, that touchdown saves them. But other than that, I mean, tight end's a rough position right now.
I feel like it's rough every single year. There's like 2 or 3 guys that you feel great about, and then the rest you're just like hoping they score a touchdown because, again, they're in that 40 to 50 yard range, and a touchdown kind of makes or breaks their week. Gesicki, again, I wouldn't count on it. Tua threw for like almost 500 yards, so they had to go somewhere, and he only got 41 of 469. Like, that's actually not that much, right?
And we'll talk about Kyle Pitts a little bit later, but, I mean, he's been a disaster so far. Kickers, yes, we talk about kickers here. We know that you want to know what the best kicker is. Kickers can win your game, your league, or they could not. Graham Gano, New York Giants, 17 fantasy points. Good for him. Evan McPherson, Cincinnati, 13 fantasy points. Is there a pattern here? Daniel Carlson, 13 fantasy points. All these teams are kind of sucked, right?
Giants won again. I think they're two. The Giants were okay, for sure. But yeah, the other two teams
also
disappointing losses.
Also, McPherson and Carlson, they were among the top kickers last year, and you expect them to be right there again
because they're solid, big legs, good offense.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised by this at all.
Defense: Tampa Bay, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 touchdown, and a 4th down stop for 27 fantasy points.
I feel like maybe Tom Brady is entering his like Peyton Manning at the end of his career era, where like a lot of the wins are going to come via the defense. You know, like, he's good enough to kind of get it done, but he's not.
He's not.
He's on the way down.
He's not off the cliff, but he's like hanging from a rope.
I wouldn't say it's a cliff. I think it's just like a downhill, and he's slowly rolling down the hill.
I think for Tampa Bay, what they were doing against, they played New Orleans and Jameis Winston. They were just doing what they did a couple years ago when Winston was their own quarterback. So in practice, I'm sure they picked him off 3 times at least every day. Right? So
and I think when at the end of the game, one of his teammates said that. In some interview, they're like, oh, you know, what were you doing? And they're like, oh, well, we just knew, you know, Jameis Winston, that's what he did. So we knew he was going to turn over the ball for us. And he called him out on it, which is funny because he was like his teammate in the past.
And he also played with like 4 broken ribs, I think, or something. He's injured as well.
He had in his back or something. Yeah.
Around the back.
Jacksonville, 5 sacks, 3 interceptions, 2 4th down stops, 23 points.
Well, the Colts are just amazing. You know, they're just amazing this year. So
they're not doing too well.
They're making everybody else look good.
And, of course, Buffalo, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown. They're great.
Yeah, they were awesome. They shut down Derrick Henry. They shut down the entire Tennessee offense.
Yeah, Derrick Henry had nowhere to go every time he got the ball. He had nowhere to go.
Yeah, and that's to be expected without the weapons on offense besides him.
You blew it!
Fantasy faceplants. Quarterback Matt Ryan, 16 for 30, 195 yards, 3 interceptions, 5 sacks, and a whopping negative 4 fantasy points.
I really want to defend him, but I'm not going to.
I was going to say, we're doing this now. We're not going to wait till
we
got to
wait. We
got to
wait.
We'll get there. But yeah, I mean, he was the worst.
He was the worst. But also, like, he was missing his main 2 receivers. Not that that's an excuse.
He was. They still have the best running back in the
league.
They were still playing the Jaguars.
That's why I'm not going to defend him.
Didn't score 1 point.
Yeah. That's terrible. Let's just move on.
Ryan Tannehill, 117 yards, 2 interceptions, 7 sacks.
Yeah, that's the Bills defense, just dominating, making you be one-dimensional and taking away your best player.
And Jameis Winston, 236 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions, 6 sacks.
We already talked about it.
Yep, we talked about it already. That's Jameis. He's going to throw the ball, like you said, and maybe to the other team, but he's going to throw the ball.
Absolutely.
Wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy had 1 catch for 11 yards. Of course, he did leave the game early, so we'll give him that. Juju, 3 catches for 10 yards, 1 point.
Yeah, that was a little surprising, I think, after a good week one. But, Kansas City came out and kind of spread the ball around to some other guys, but I think you're definitely expecting more from Juju.
I think that it's going to be another one of those cases because Kansas City has so many weapons. It's just going to be like he's going to have his peak weeks and he's going to have his trash weeks. And, you know, you got to... got to just go through the highs and the lows, and hopefully you play him on the highs.
And Mahomes said that. He said, you know, I apologize to fantasy owners in advance because the ball's going to be passed around. These next two are definitely some fantasy face plants. Justin Jefferson, 6 catches, 48 yards, and Ja'Marr Chase, 5 catches, 54 yards.
Yeah, I think, again, these aren't terrible numbers, but they are when your names are Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, right? Yeah. You're definitely expecting double digits from those guys. Jefferson, he still caught 6 balls, 48 yards. He could have had a touchdown. There's a play where he ran behind the DB instead of in front. So, I mean, all of a sudden he gets a touchdown there, and now you're looking at a much different scenario. Chase, it was just that offense was frustrating. They couldn't get anything going against Dallas. Again, if you have those guys, it's not like you're going to put them on your bench. You're still starting them week in and week out. You're just certainly expecting more.
I will say Darius Slay on Jefferson did a pretty good job covering him. He almost had like 4 picks in the game or something crazy.
Absolutely.
Running back, Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker. I put them together because one of them had 6 for 15 yards and the other one had 4 for 10 yards. Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle's tough. I mean, you want no part of that offense.
Dalvin Cook, 6 for 17 and 19 yards through the air.
Yeah, that's bad.
Again, the Eagles just kind of shut them out.
Yeah, I think that game just got away from Minnesota early. They had to go off game script. They want to run the ball. They want to air it out as well, but you don't want to be forced to air it out because you're down 3 scores early. So I would look for better days ahead from Dalvin Cook.
And I think Minnesota probably came off like that. They were still not came off, but after that week one high where they did so well, they were like coming
in. Trout's Green Bay, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, oh, man, we're feeling good and feeling kind of cocky, and then they got, you know, pounced on, so...
And then I put him on here, Zeke, 5 points, 53 yards on 15 carries. Again, you know, not what you expect from Zeke, but not a horrible performance, I guess.
Not a horrible performance?
No, bad, but not horrible. Horrible would be negative 4 points by Matt Ryan.
I don't know, man. I don't know. This is pretty horrible for Zeke.
Tight ends, Kyle Pitts, we talked about earlier, 2 catches. 2 catches for 19 yards. He had 1 fantasy point. Now, here's a question for you. What do you think his stats were last week?
Oh, no. I already know that. I think they were better this week than last week, right? Like, last week he had, 2 catches for 10 yards, I think, or 3 catches for 10 yards.
So this week was 2 catches for 19 yards. Last week was 2 catches for 19 yards. He's consistent, if nothing else.
The problem with that I had with him coming into the season was that he did all right last year, and everybody's like, oh, he's going to be one of the top guys. He's the best player on the team, whatever, you know. But, you're bringing in a different quarterback. Like, you know, things are going to be different. So even though he's good, you can't expect the same results as last year because of the changes, you know. So I think that's – I could see why people were, like, really high on him, but I wanted to be cautious about that because I just don't – especially Mariota. Like, I don't know what you're going to get from him. You know, so.
Right, but I still think when you're a weapon as good as Kyle Pitts, like if you're that coach, you just got a game plan to get him the ball. Like you don't have, I mean, you have Drake London who's been really good also, but like you don't have weapons. Like what are you doing not throwing the ball more to Kyle Pitts?
And then Travis Kelce, 5 for 51 yards, which
he'll be fine. It's just, you know.
Just a down game.
Too many cooks.
All right, let's talk about some waiver pickups here. Quarterback. Tell me if you think we should be picking up these guys. Remember, we're in an eight. Our main league is an eight-man league, but I know a lot of people play in 10, 12, even 14 sometimes. So, I mean, especially if you had Trey Lance. Jimmy G, that's going to be a big pickup this week, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like, again, he's kind of a solid guy. You know what you're getting. Not going to have a huge ceiling, but his floor is going to be pretty high too.
So. I don't know how available he actually is. Like, I feel like he, if people take backup quarterbacks or a two-quarterback league, or well, maybe not two-quarterback because he wasn't starting, but I feel like
he's widely available.
You think so?
Who is rostering him if he's not even a starter?
Trey Lance owners?
32 starters, maybe.
He's rostered in 6% of Yahoo leagues.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah, then that's probably, yeah.
Like, yeah, again, if you have a 16-team league and it's a two-quarterback league, sure, because all 32 are accounted for, and then you go there, but no one else should.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a super flex, and I don't even think he's rostered in that, but he will. I'm sure he will be after, you know, waivers go through.
I'm in a super flex, too, and the only team that owned him, yeah, had Trey Lance and is, like, diehard Niners fan. That's the only place I think he's owned.
Carson Wentz, if he's still available.
Negative. I'm good.
Okay, same.
I mean,
he's been fine. He's like a top five quarterback right now. There's no denying that. But again, I'm going to put that against the schedule, and we'll see how he does this week against Philadelphia.
Marcus Mariota.
We just talked about him. Yeah. So again, not for me.
All right.
Maybe again, two quarterback leagues, something deeper. You're going to get some rushing stats with him. He's got some weapons. If they just would throw Kyle Pitts the ball more, I'd like him a little bit better. But again, I think deeper leagues, I think he's okay. They're playing Seattle this week too, so kind of an intriguing matchup there.
I mean, I feel like if you have someone on your bench that you don't really care to have there, or if you had Trey Lance and he was your second quarterback on your bench or something, yeah, pick up Wentz, pick up Mariota. I mean, especially if you're doing well, because you never know what's going to happen. If they are consistent, at least you got them early, you know, because someone's going to pick him up if he has another great game, either one of those guys. Jared Goff, Detroit. Detroit has scored 71 points so far in two games, and they have scored in every single quarter so far.
Yeah, like we were saying, they're much improved this year.
So, he's a guy that I probably like the most on this list. Their offense has been really good. 35 points in week one, 36 points in week two. They've been consistent. The offensive line is really good. They have good weapons. We talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. DeAndre Swift has been really good. They have Hawkinson. They have some DJ Shark. I like him a lot, and I think that offense is certainly sustainable. We've showed it week in and week out, and I think that continues as they move forward. Next couple matchups, Minnesota, who got just demolished by Philly last night, then Seattle, then New England. So that's some decent offenses coming up bad defenses coming up, sorry, that he can take advantage of.
Running back, Raheem Mostert, Miami. He seems to be the starter. I don't know. Who knows who the starter is, but he was the main guy this
week. So, yeah, he was the main guy this week, and this is a game that they were trailing big to Baltimore. Obviously, we know Tua came back and led them, but they were down huge in the fourth quarter, right? They outscored Baltimore 28-3 to win in the fourth quarter. So that's a game script that you'd expect Chase Edmonds, who's been the pass-catching back, to play. And Mostert, out-carried him. Mostert had more receptions than him. So, yeah, I think we saw a little bit of a change in the guard of who's the best running back in Miami to have. But, again, I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. They have other weapons. I don't know I don't see Mostert as like a running back too. Maybe a flex option at best.
Eno Benjamin and Darrell Williams from Arizona. If James Conner can't go, who are you picking up? Either of those guys, who do you like better?
So when he came out, they literally split the work 50-50. I think they each had like 10 touches. I would say Williams because he got the goal line carry.
Yeah, I agree. I think Williams is the better bet, but who knows? You know, he may even play. Tyler Allgeier.
Allgeier.
Thank you very much.
L.A.
From Atlanta.
Yeah. He's kind of intriguing. Again, they have Cordarrelle Patterson there. I don't know that he's a 17-week kind of 300-carry back. He's kind of a gadget guy. So Algiers played tough. He's good. He's kind of a three-down back, so I'd expect him to get more carries as the season goes along. Again, Atlanta's not going to win very many games. They're going to turn to some young guys to kind of see what they can do, and he's a rookie that has some promise.
Yeah, I think he's a flyer right now, but he could be more valuable later on in the season. Mark Ingram, New Orleans.
I thought about him last week, and I was like, I don't know that he's going to do that much. Like, yeah, Kamara's out or whatever, but it's Jameis Winston. You know, he's not going to check it down. They'll have their designed running plays, but he's just going to, you know, he's just going to toss the ball. So I don't know how much value there is there. Again, maybe if you're in a pinch, bye week or something, and if he's still playing, like Kamara might be back. Who knows? So there's not really much there, I don't think.
Wide receivers, Garrett Wilson, New York Jets, had a pretty decent game there, and he's a rookie that came out pretty hot this season so far.
Yeah, he had a monster game. I think he had a couple touchdowns, over 100 yards, led the team with 14 targets, which was impressive. So, I think as the season goes along, you see rookies make a bigger and bigger impact as they kind of understand the playbook, they understand how the flow of the game works. So I think he's going to be a guy that continues to get better. My only question with him is, again, if we talked about this earlier, if Flacco isn't the quarterback anymore, does he have that same rapport with Zach Wilson?
And just the team in general, like they're going to face the tough defenses, and what's, you know, how's that going to go? Probably not well.
Nelson Aguilar.
This guy actually, you know what, is not terrible, because at the beginning of the season, I was like kind of heavy on Parker, because I'm like, oh, Parker came over from Miami, he's going to be like the guy there, you know? But actually, Nelson Aguilar, and Aguilar has always been the guy who's like, oh, Aguilar, he'll be good. You pick him, and then he doesn't do anything. And then he did all right. His best season was with the Raiders. He did all right. He didn't have a monster season, but it was like definitely better than he had been. And ever since then, it's kind of like he's kind of on that level. He never really got any higher than that. Like that was his best season still. But he's getting a lot of looks. Mac Jones isn't looking great, but when he does complete the pass, it's going to Aguilar. So there's a little bit of value there.
Sterling Shepard, New York Giants. So the Giants... I don't know what's going on over there. Kadarius Toney had like two catches or something, or not even two catches, two looks. I don't know. I heard he cleaned out his locker after
Kadarius
the game.
Toney? Yeah. Oh, it's like always something different every week.
But Sterling Shepard seems to be the guy there right now.
Yeah. So the Giants, yeah, we don't know what's going on with them, but what's going on is they're 2-0. They're winning games and they're doing it in a weird way. So Saquon kind of got shut down this week, but yeah, Sterling Shepard led the team in 10 targets. Six catches, only 34 yards. But again, I think they need somebody to be the number one guy, and it's why not him? It doesn't sound like Tony's going to play a lot. I don't know what's up with Kenny Golladay. That guy was a big bust since he came over and signed a big contract. So, yeah, I mean, I guess Shepard's the number one offense on a Daniel Jones quarterback team, so however that makes you feel.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't – I want to stay away from the Giants at all costs right now, but who knows. Michael Gallup, Dallas, again – we're not sure what Dallas is going to be.
Or when he's coming back. Have they said he's back?
That's something to...
So they did say he might play week three, but they're going to kind of slow roll him in, so he's not going to have a full complement of snaps. But I think he's actually an intriguing one. I think when Dak gets back, when Michael Gallup gets to full health, so maybe you're planning 4 weeks or so down the line when bye week start, things like that. I think he's intriguing. We've seen him produce, certainly when he's been on the field in the past. They obviously have CD Lamb, but they do need another option. So I think he's kind of an intriguing stash to play down the road once bye week start.
And if you don't want to wait, Noah Brown right now from Dallas.
Exactly. He's been like the number one receiver. He's getting more targets than CeeDee Lamb. He's catching more balls. I think a lot of that has to do too. He's kind of been a backup, been on the practice squad with Cooper Rush. They kind of already have that built-in relationship and taking a lot of snaps together. So, I think he's the guy right now. But I think, again, Gallup's coming back soon to take that spot.
And Greg Dortch from Arizona.
Yeah, he's been kind of a surprise. He's caught a ton of balls. I think he's taken the role of... what's his name? Rondale Moore. I almost said Raheem Mostert. Yeah, Rondale Moore, since he's been out the first couple weeks. He's caught a bunch of balls and kind of been their slot go-to guy. Again, four catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown this week. I think he had a pretty decent week last week as well. So, again, kind of a short-term guy until Moore comes back. And then, obviously, you have DeAndre Hopkins coming back also.
Yeah, just four more weeks.
Tight ends, Logan Thomas, Washington, Evan Ingram, Jacksonville. It's tough out there, but those are maybe two options you can look to.
Yeah, I think you're just looking for a guy that can score a touchdown.
Look for the upside. I mean, we gotta keep an eye on Carson Wentz, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean, if he's still passing like that, Logan could be a recipient.
I think I like Evan Ingram more.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think he's got a better
quarterback. I like Trevor Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence has been okay. I mean, that team,
that's another team that's
lot,
been a little bit improved. Not, yeah. I feel like the Lions are much improved. This team is a little improved, but still, they're still better than they were. They already won a game, so.
Defense, Dallas and Kansas City, are those two ones that are on your radar this week?
They should be. Dallas has been really good. They're at New York this week on Monday night. They just get a lot of turnovers. Micah Parsons has been a monster pass rusher. They have Trayvon Diggs, who had like 7 pick sixes last year. So they're prone to create a lot of turnovers. I think they're certainly intriguing. And then Kansas City that you mentioned, they this week get to host Indianapolis and that vaunted offense. So, yeah, I think they're definitely on the radar. You know, anyone playing against Matt Ryan these days could be a pretty good play.
All right, let's go into some week 3 matchups. And let's go over the score for us here. So before the games we picked last week, I was 3-0. LSA was 3-0. And Brandon, 0-3.
But I'm back.
But he's back. All right. What games did we have? We had Kansas City
and the
versus
Chargers.
The Chargers. 3.5 points, Kansas City favorite. I picked Kansas City. Brandon, you picked the Chargers.
I did.
LSAO, Kansas City.
And I got lucky. I will admit, I got that late comeback from Herbert, and he got that little backdoor touchdown. They covered by 3. But they were dominating that game early, and then Herbert threw that pick 6 that kind of changed things. But I think the Chargers were the better team throughout the game.
Tampa Bay -3. At New Orleans, Tampa Bay scored 20, New Orleans scored 10, and I picked New Orleans because I wanted to be different, and you both picked Tampa Bay and got
idiot.
The point. Las Vegas versus Arizona. Las Vegas was favored by 4.5,
and they had them by 20.
They were up by
or 23.
Way more.
Was it 23-0 or 20-0?
It was 20-0 at one point.
It was 20, like
it may have been
23.
It was a lot.
I think it was 23-0. Before it all went.
I know it was at least 20-0. And then Arizona won 29-23.
By the way, that play for the 2-point conversion to tie the game, ridiculous.
Yeah. Tyler ran 85 yards, and the play was like 21 seconds long.
Yeah. They just couldn't catch him. And the linemen were like after him, but they just couldn't catch him.
My neighbors probably thought so. I was like, get him.
Here's the thing. I think I'm most impressed. You'd say, what an amazing play by Kyler. I'm more impressed that Dallas covered receivers for 21 seconds and he had to run it in. Like he couldn't find anybody open for that long. So great job
Raiders,
by the defense.
Raiders.
Yeah. That was incredible. That's one of those things where it's like,
anyway, I picked Vegas.
It was terrible.
You picked Vegas. Brandon.
Yep,
picked
that's
Arizona.
Right. That's 3 in a row.
And then finally, we had Philly. Favored by 2 versus Minnesota. Philly won 24-7, and we all picked Minnesota. So,
yeah, this is a game I think we talked about both of these teams kind of on the rise as a statement game for both. And obviously, we're more impressed with Philly, but I don't think Minnesota is a bad team. I think they bounce back sooner rather than later.
New score, LSAO, you are 4-3.
I'm in first place.
I'm 3-4, and Brandon's 3-4. Come back.
I've made up. I was down
he
3
was
games
the, he was
last
the,
week.
He was the Cardinals
back.
Of the week.
Yeah, scrambling around, making things happen.
Well, let's change that up, all right? Let's talk about some of this week's games. The Thursday game, Steelers, who are 1-1, at the Browns, who are 1-1, and the Browns by 5 points. We're not going to bet on this game. We're just talking about it a little bit. So, both 1-1. I don't know. I don't really have anything much to say about either of these teams. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs more than likely. They're just kind of – I mean, Pittsburgh's in a rebuild phase, right?
Kind of. So, I actually think this game is kind of intriguing for a couple of reasons. One, the Browns should be 2-0. They obviously blew that game against the Jets last week. I think they're just trying to hang on till when Deshaun Watson comes back because he's a complete game changer for them.
Yeah.
He makes that offense just so legitimate because they're actually really well built around him. So, I think it's a big game for them. Pittsburgh is trying to figure out what to do at the quarterback spot. Trubisky's been terrible, so I think this might be a game where if he comes out and doesn't do much, I think we might see the rookie Kenny Pickett.
Ooh. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, this like how long is this leash, you know? Like this week he's fine because they already said, no, he's our guy. But if he has another terrible outing, it's like, oh, is that, could that be the end of the line?
I don't know.
Or could there be like a, well, now we're thinking about it. I don't know. The other thing about, you were talking about Deshaun Watson coming back. How long has he been out also? Is this year two that he hasn't played?
Yeah, so he's kind of, you know, following the Trey Lance lead,
yeah, that's
right?
What I'm saying. It's like everybody could expect all this stuff from him, and then he comes back and he just totally, you know.
Yeah, but we know his muscles are going to be very relaxed. He got a lot of massages in the off season, so I think he's going to be ready to go.
Be ready to go. Nice long vacation.
Bills 2-0 at Dolphins 2-0. Bills are favored by 4. We will pick this team. This is going to be a good game, I think. Again, it's a test for the Dolphins. The Bills are obviously an amazing team, and they should win this. But the Dolphins have a lot of weapons.
Yeah, this is a fun one. I think, again, this is kind of a game where you see, are the Dolphins for real? And they're at home, and teams struggle when they play in Miami. There's weird heat. It's humid. It's a hard place to play. In the past, the Brady Patriots always struggled going down there. But I think this is a different – the Bills are a different beast. They have looked unbelievable, and I wouldn't take any team against them until they prove me wrong. So I'm going to go with the Bills minus 4.
I agree with that. I think that it's a big test for Miami. And also, even if it is a close game, the Bills have, like, the experience, you could say, you know, versus, like, the Miami, who's kind of, like, trying to figure out, are we this good, you know, which who knows? They could be. They could not. But if it comes down to it, I think just the poise of, like, Josh Allen is going to, like, just push the team through because of the experience, because he's been there, because he's been in those tough games, and I think he's not going to – they're not going to – you know, like you said, it's a different animal. There's no way Miami can handle this.
You know, I'd love to go against you guys, but I agree. The Bills are going to take
Damn
this
it.
By,
Damn it.
By the points also. So we're all going to be in agreement on that one. Moving on to – this is going to be a – this is the matchup of the century, guys. The 0-2 Raiders at the 0-2 Titans, and the Raiders are favored by 1 point. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Raiders. This is a huge game for them. They had a chance to beat the Chargers and at the end of the game in the first week, and then I think that was like a, I want to say kind of like a moral victory for them. It's like, oh, okay, we're good enough to keep up with the team that everybody is like, you know, drooling all over, you know, like we made a point that we can still beat these guys. And then last week they were celebrating early basically and just stopped playing, and then they lost. That was a totally blown, like, they should have won. So they should be at least 1-1, but they could have been 2-0. So it's a big game for them. Like, it's like win or bust. Like, there's no losing right now. This is a big game for them. It's a must have. And so I think they're going to come out and they know that, and they're going to also, like we were talking about earlier, like, Tennessee has basically a one play, you know, right now. And
Derrick Henry is
yeah,
the play.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
You know, the Raiders consistently do this. They are up and they just blow it. And I think it is a mental thing. It's like, oh, you know, and I think it's also a coaching thing. And I think everyone's going to learn from this. Because they're a good team, at least a good offense, and I think they have the ability to win a lot of games. And I think that they're going to get their stuff together, and the Raiders are going to win. I'm not going to say by how much. I mean, if it was maybe minus 5, maybe I'd pick the Titans because, you know, I think that it could still be a close game, but I think the Raiders are going to pull this one out.
I hate to do it. I'm going to be in agreement there. Just what I've seen from the Titans – I haven't been impressed. They lost to the Giants in week one. They got smashed by the Bills last night. Again, that's the best team in the league, but still they lost by 34 points, which is saying something. And Elsie, I think your point is important, that this is a must-win game for the Raiders. Their next two games after the Titans, they play at home against the Broncos
and then Kansas
at the
City,
Chiefs.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so two big division games. No, those are toss-ups. You know, there's no gimmies there. So you lose this, you could potentially lose the next 0-5, and all of a sudden your season's over. So I think they come out, and I think they win big.
Packers 1-1 at the Bucks 2-0. The Bucks are favored by 2.5 points, but they will be without Mike Evans and possibly Godwin.
I think this the offense again. I think the offense will be okay even without them. They're not going to be the best, but they'll be okay. They can march along and get a score, maybe two. But really, the defense is going to be the important thing here. It's like, can the defense stop Aaron Rodgers? And by that, it's like, can they stop Aaron Jones? That's really what it comes down to. They got to watch the run game because the receivers have yet to prove that they can do anything. So they're going to focus on stopping the run game, which Tampa Bay is really good at. They're one of the top run defenses. So I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. What's the spread anyways? I didn't even...
2.5
Oh, yeah.
Tampa Bucks Bay. By 2.5
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think the Bucks are a good team. I think the Packers are a good team. I think this one could really go either way. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick the Packers.
Hell yeah.
And they're pretty much going to have to win because that's a short spread right there. But I think, you know, Tampa Bay, their defense is what's going to win it if they win it. But I think that
when?
Aaron Rodgers.
When they win it?
I said if they win it.
I know. I'm telling you when.
I think Aaron Rodgers and company can get it done against his fellow old man there. So I'm going to go with the Packers.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to be the deciding vote here. I also like the Packers. I think that Tampa, they've been really good defensively. But again, that was against Dallas, who they made look really bad, against New Orleans and Jameis Winston, who wasn't great. Rodgers is different, right? And obviously he struggled in week one, and we talked to this before. They struggled last year in week one too, and he kind of figured things out. I think this is kind of a statement game for him. I think he comes out, outduels Tampa Bay, who just has not been impressive offensively. And you're waiting for them to put it together. I don't think it's this week. Green Bay is pretty good defensively too. So I'm going to take the Packers and the points.
All right. A bigger lead for me.
One more. We're going to go to Monday night here. Cowboys 1-1 at the Giants 2-0.
Man.
Giants by 2.5 points.
This is what we're picking?
I know. I'd rather do the Sunday night game.
All right. Well, we'll do the Sunday. Let's talk about this one. We'll do the Sunday night one. We'll pick it. But Cowboys 1-1, Giants 2-0. I mean, it's...
Pick it for fun. Pick it for fun, I guess.
It's actually an interesting one, right? I think the Giants 2-0 is surprising. The Cowboys at 1-1 were kind of picked to win the division. Philly's obviously 2-0, kind of taking over that division. But I liked what I saw from Dallas this last week against Cincinnati. Their defense is going to be there. Their defense shows up every game. They don't turn the ball over offensively. I think they can definitely hang in there. If we were picking this game, I think I'd take Dallas plus the 2.5 points because I think they went outright.
Yeah, I would take Dallas also. I'm not happy about it, but I would do it.
I think you'd
take Dallas, Jesse.
No, I have to go back and check, but I think Dallas was the number one defense last year, point wise in fantasy.
I think they were because they had a lot of touchdowns.
I would pick Dallas with this one too. Not just because I picked Dallas for everything, but I actually think that they can beat the Giants here. All right, and this is the one we will pick for this week. So Sunday night, 49ers 1-1 and Broncos 1-1. But I just have a feeling we're all going to pick the same team here. That's why I guess we all would have picked the same team in the last one, Dallas.
I haven't decided. So yeah. I think this game is really intriguing, right? We're getting the first start by Jimmy G this season. 49ers are obviously a good team. They have big aspirations. And we haven't quite yet see the Broncos put it together, right? And is that a Russell Wilson issue? Is that a head coach play calling issue? They've really, really struggled. So now we get Sunday night, primetime game. Russ usually plays well in these games. So I'm very intrigued to kind of see what happens. So I'm going to hold on to my pick, and I'm going to defer to you guys on this one.
I'll take it. I'll go. And I wasn't sure about this one either. I think it could go either way on this one also because the 49ers with Jimmy G, I think, have potential to do a lot. But they could also, you know, have those growing pains and kind of getting into the flow of things may have a little hiccup. And the Broncos should be starting to hit some kind of stride, you know, and get
they're not riding yet. They're not riding yet.
They're not. And that's why I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to go with Denver because I'm going to go with the 49ers because I don't know what you're talking about. Growing pains with Jimmy G. It was growing pains with Trey Lance. Jimmy G's going to step right in and be like, oh, this is what we did last year. Let's do it again. So I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going with the 49ers because Bronco country, they stalled out. They're not going anywhere. And until they prove that they can, which I'm sure eventually they will, but I don't think this is the week.
I do think it's the week. I'm going to take Denver plus one at home. I was honestly, I was going to take them to begin with. I'm not just doing it to against you guys. I just think Denver has to put it together sooner or later, and I think this is the week in a big national primetime game. So I'm going to take Denver at home plus the 1 point.
There you have it. We'll see where we are at the end of next week. Balls to the wall time.
I like that the music is back.
The music is back. Woo!
Yeah, we're going to have better picks now because of it.
All right, let's talk about last week. Brandon, you had Gerald Everett for 6 catches, 110 yards, and 1 touchdown. He had 6 catches for 71 yards.
And he should have had the touchdown. I don't know if you guys saw that interception. Yes. That ball was to him. He tried to come out of the play beforehand because he was tired, and then he kind of like ran the wrong route, but the ball was coming for him. He could have had that touchdown. That was a game changer. So, yeah, I wasn't spot on, but as you hear the next two, I was actually the best and the closest.
I had Julio Jones. I said he was going to do 118 yards and 2 TDs, which is what he would have done.
If he hadn't stayed home.
Except he didn't play. He did not suit up because of his knee. And I will say he's not my balls to the wall this week, but he is going to have a great game. So. LSAO, Matt Ryan was yours. 300 yards and 3 touchdowns was what you said. He did do 195 yards, 3 interceptions, 5 sacks, and he had -4 fantasy points, and my guy didn't play, so I guess I won against you.
I mean, not really. I mean, if you call any of these, winning. Listen, fool me once, fool me twice.
Is what Matt Ryan did to you twice.
What's going to happen when you fool us 3 times and you take him again?
I don't think
week?
He's going to get the chance, man. I've learned my lesson. What a disappointing outing for the Colts in general. It's like, Matt, you know, it's just bad. Like, I really thought he was going to be better than Carson Wentz. And so far,
and boy,
no.
Were you a fool.
I wear the crown.
All right, let's pick our balls to the wall for week 3. I'll kick it off with Jimmy G. He's coming on in hot with 225 yards. I know it's not a lot. 2 touchdowns, but he's going to also run for 40 yards and have another touchdown. 49ers are going to win, just like I said, versus Denver.
Is that why you that's why you picked? Because you had already picked
No,
him?
I would have picked against it just to piss you off, but you know.
You should have. Take it back right now. I'll let you do it.
Go ahead. What's yours?
Real quick, hold on. I want to touch a little bit on that. Balls to the wall, and he's going for 225 yards and two touchdowns. I get the rushing touchdown, but this is like just balls barely dripping down your leg. Like, they're not to the wall. Like, they're just hanging there.
They're not doing a whole lot right now. Yeah, they're not. So, okay. They're not getting any action.
Okay.
Hey, you're talking about.
Also, last week,
that's like 32 fantasy points or something. So that's
But last week when I said 250 yards, you guys are like, "What? What are you doing?"
Because did 350 the week before. I mean, that's you can't downgrade your balls to the wall. But Jimmy G is coming off the bench.
So
I think
just shoot lower.
Got it. Okay, so mine is gonna be. I hate when Jesse talks in front of me. Debo Samuel.
This will be a good one. Like, this will be fun.
I think that with Jimmy G back, it's going to go back to more like the, this is what we're doing again. Because now it's like we don't have Trey Lance the runner. Now it's like back to like what they were doing last year when Debo was getting all that action, which is going to be, it's going to be really good for the team, I think. Like, they're in a better spot, I think, you know, like you were talking about earlier. So Debo Samuel, I think he's going to get, let's go with, 125 total yards, like combined, you know, and I'll say 2 touchdowns.
Off the top of your head, just boom, just let it flow in.
Yeah.
Let that psychic power take over. Okay. Brandon.
Well, yeah, you guys are so balls to the wall. I'm going to take Justin Jefferson, 1 catch for 7 yards. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go with a different wide receiver in Houston. Not named Brandon Cooks. I'm going to take wide receiver Nico Collins to go 7 catches, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
All right. There you have it. Our balls to the wall. Tune in. See what happens. That's all we got for you this week. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, don't be a fool.
Stay in school. Jesse, man, always copping me. Do your own thing, man.